You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Before I end my time hosting this program, there are some special guests that I want to catch up with, people whose stories I could not get out of my mind and my heart. And one of those special people is here now. He spent over 46 years in prison in Michigan for a murder he did not commit. The Michigan Innocence Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School took up his case, and the result? Richard Phillips walked out of prison in 2017, and in 2018, he was exonerated, his record wiped clean. He is the longest-serving exoneree in U.S. history, so no one else in this country has done more time in prison for a crime he did not commit. Richard Phillips is back with us again, and welcome back to the studio, Richard.
Welcome, Cindy. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well, and I am happy to see you. And I have to tell you, as I prepare to retire, one of the questions I get asked most often is, what's your favorite interview? What interview really sticks with you? And every time I say Richard Phillips. So I want to thank you for coming in to talk one last time. First and foremost, how are you doing?
Right now, life is good. God is good. He has treated me kindly over the last 2 years since I've been released. I've had so many miraculous experiences. I've met so many miraculous and wonderful people. I've been introduced into so many different families that have fallen in love with me and that I've fallen in love with.
So you have been building your family and your circle.
That is correct.
I would imagine if I was in some legal trouble and was feeling caught in this net, looking at someone like you who could say, look, listen to me here, has got to be a very important thing.
Well, actually, it's important to receive that information from me because I've actually had to go through the whole process. You know, I've done nearly 50 years in prison for a crime that I didn't do. And so once I looked at the system, I seen that there are so many different things involved in the system that could be changed, things that can be corrected, policies that can be changed and implemented, you know, to make the system better and make it more fair and just for everybody that's involved.
One thing, Richard, real quickly that I want to figure out and find out about as we talked the last time. When we last talked, you were still waiting to be compensated by the state. Has the state settled with you yet?
In terms of the settlement, I would say this. The state have actually given me some form of compensation in order to live with, and I'm satisfied with that. I was never really interested in money, no way. Money was never my primary reason for getting out. I just wanted my freedom. Mm-hmm. My freedom was more important to me than anything, money, anything else.
But you got out and you had to build this life after you'd been away for almost 5 decades from scratch.
That's very true. And I'm still building this life. But right now, life is good for me.
Yes.
I've been enjoying it. I've been trying to give back. I've been trying to help those that are unfortunate. I've tried to do everything that I can to make the system, and not only just the system, but human life better for as many people as I possibly can.
I remember being struck by your artistic talent, which you discovered while you were in prison. And when we last talked, you were kind of supporting yourself by selling paintings. So where are you at in terms of your art now?
In terms of my art right now, I've kind of backed off on actually creating art because I have such an array of collection of art to be sold, and those are still online. I sell mostly prints now because, you know, I was advised that in order to maintain some semblance of keeping history, you know, those paintings are involved in history. I mean, you've already given the public an example of my being the only exoneree to have served as much time as I have in United States history. So my art is actually connected in historical terms. So therefore, I've really been selling prints, and that's primarily where I'm at in terms of selling art right now. I guess I would get to a point where as though once I get comfortable, and right now I'm at work, so I'm working every day. So I, you know,
you're busy.
Yeah. So I don't really have a chance to really be involved in the things that I really love to do, which is art. But eventually I'm sure that I'll probably venture back to it at some point.
Have you gotten, Richard Phillips, to a point where you have been able to shake off or put aside whatever feelings or habits that you carried with you from those decades in prison?
Well, being in prison for all those years, you run through a process of development within yourself. Me, I had to go through all types of development. I had to come to grips with the fact that I was somewhat uneducated. And so one of my first decisions was to get my GED. Because in this world, you need an education in order to actually live and survive. Without that, you don't have the necessary tools that you need in order to become successful in life. If you want a job, then you're going to have to know how to do the job. You have to either be talented, skilled before you even go into a job, or you won't be able to do that job as well as you should. And so me, I felt that getting an education would be important in the event that I ever got released from prison. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die in there. As fortunate as happened, God opened the door for me and allowed me to enjoy some of the later years of my life. And right now, basically, other than me being involved in the different programs, the Innocence Projects and things that I'm involved in, I'm just really trying to be happy and live life. I don't really want a whole lot of fanfare. I'm not trying to be a movie star. I'm not trying to explain to people about this and that. I'm just trying to live my life and enjoy what little life I do have left on this earth.
You went in when you were how old?
I was 25.
And you came out at age?
72. Okay. I am now going on 74.
One of the things is I thought about our conversations and I thought about your story. And certainly my family and I have talked about this because what's striking is you were not filled with the red hot anger that I think I would have been carrying had I been wrongly convicted and locked up for nearly half a century. How did you not give in to that very understandable reaction?
Well, in my estimation, if you carry around bitterness long enough, it's going to turn you into a bitter person. Me, I'm not trying to be bitter. I'm just trying to enjoy life, fill out the rest of my life with as much happiness and love as I possibly can.
Did you carry that for a while in prison?
I tried to stay to myself a lot in prison. That way, the anger that I felt, the disappointment of losing my family and my children and my life, so to speak, you know, didn't really filter in as much because I tried to keep my mind occupied with other things, my art, writing poetry, writing letters, doing all types of other things that were positive in order to stay away from the negative, which was my feelings and missing my children. Those things were heart-wrenching. I mean, can you imagine someone just taking your child from you and just going to another country or another world and you never seeing them again for almost 47 years? Can you imagine that?
I cannot.
Okay, well, that's what happened to me. So I had to endure those thoughts and I had to try to cloud them out in order to be able to endure the madness that I was seeing every day. And prison is not a place that you want to be. I can guarantee you that. No matter who you are or where you come from, you do not want to spend one day in prison. Some people can't stand 10 hours before they hang themselves. That's a fact. But listen, if you can get through the hard times, I think God will make it possible for you to enjoy some good times. At least he has for me, and I'm grateful for that.
You know, I've got to imagine, as you say, you want to live your life and build this life. And at the same time, I kind of feel here's this position you have in legal history. It has put you in the spotlight. How has that been for you? The attention?
Well, the attention is good and bad. I get to meet a lot of wonderful people, and I've met a lot of wonderful people. In the 2 years that I've been out, it seems as though I've lived 50 years in the last 2 years. I've met so many different people, representatives. I've spoken in Lansing. I've been to conventions in other states. I've spoken at churches. I've tried to advise anybody and everybody to enjoy life and live and appreciate the life that you have. Because God didn't promise any of us a rose garden. You know, he said, listen, here's life. Go take it and do the best you can with it. If you're going to have hard times, you're not going to always have good times. So you have to learn how to adjust in life and go through it. And I went through my adjustment period, which was prison. Mm-hmm. Now, the good times are rolling in. I'm surrounded by people that I love. All the people that are involved in my life, I truly love these people because they've changed my life. They've turned me from someone that was close to being a derelict. Because when I got out, I didn't have any assistance mm-hmm. from anybody. I could have been a bum on the street. But there were people involved in my life. Even the people, I've never had a chance to thank those people that sent me money from the GoFundMe program. But those people that know who they are, those people that did contribute, I thank them and love them from the bottom of my heart. I've never had a chance to actually thank them, but I do.
They can hear you say
that. They can hear me now.
We all suffer injustices. Yours put you in the history books.
Right.
But I think as we listen to your thoughts and watch you build this life, we can all learn about how to put something in its place. And I guess I'm curious, is what you found, Richard Phillips, is it a state of forgiveness? Is it acceptance? Is it something else?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You have to accept those things that happen to you. You have to make changes in your life at certain points in your life. You have to do those things that are necessary in order to go forward, to put one foot in front of the next, and to make it to another day. There were times in prison where I didn't really think that I'd be able to get up the next day. But luckily enough, through the grace of God, I was always able to climb out of bed, put one foot in front of the other, and make it through the day. And that's what all of us have to do. We have to go through whatever we're going through, deal with it, and keep it moving. And if we can do that, we'll be successful in the end, because I think that at some point, God comes into all our lives and makes it better. I didn't think it would ever happen to me because I was confined in a cold, dark cell for almost a half a century. But it just goes to show, things can change. You just have to hang in there until it does.
Richard Phillips, we wish you a very, very happy 2020 as you look forward to new things in the new year. And I want to thank you for being part of my final week on Stateside.
I would also like to say this. This is almost like a bittersweet moment for me because I'm happy for the fact that you're going to be going off into the wild blue land yonder enjoying your life. But I'm also sad, and I'm sad for your listeners as well, because here you are, you've put in almost 40 years of being the voice of reason, the voice of the constant motherly love type people that want to hear you speak every day. There's people that get up and turn on the radio show just to hear you speak and get confidence and reassurance in life from you. And it's going to be heartbreaking for us to lose out on that voice. I'm, for one, going to be heartbroken at the fact that I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but you and I have become good friends. And I've learned to care for you just as much as my other friends. And it's good to see you again, believe me.
Thank you, Richard. Now, you've made me cry. Nobody's done that until now. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.